Good morning. My name is Trent Sari, and I'm the student body president over at Bethany Lutheran Seminary. And on behalf of the seminary, I'd like to extend an invitation to any young men, or perhaps old men for that matter, who might be interested in pursuing the pastoral ministry. This Sunday, that is October 12th, we'll be having a seminary open house from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Dinner will be provided, and it'll be a great chance for you to come and speak with some seminarians or get to know the faculty a little bit, learn about what our seminary has to offer. Also, our Synod President, John Molstad, will be speaking on the pastor's relationship to the Synod. And we hope that you'll take this opportunity to come and see what our seminary is all about. Again, that's a seminary open house this Sunday, October 12th, 5:30 to 7:30 in the evening. Thanks.
Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the second letter of St. Paul to the pastor Timothy, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. My mother's father was a Lutheran pastor who died back in 1962 when I was just a few years old. Years later, when I was in seminary, I was reading some of his papers that he had written back when he was probably my age now, describing the society in which he was living. And it was interesting that he was going on about how much more evil he was seeing in the world compared to his grandparents' generation. And he brought up a number of instances and reasons for seeing this in the world. What's interesting is, as I was reading them in the 80s, they seemed like petty issues to our generation today. St. Paul is writing here to one of his closest co-workers, young Timothy, who had come to learn about God's grace and come to faith in Christ as his Savior when he was a young child being taught by his mother and grandmother, and had been raised in that Christian faith throughout his life, Paul says ever since infancy. And now in adulthood had gone out with Paul to begin establishing congregations and so on. And Paul is writing to him to encourage him and give him directions. And he's pointing out to him that you should not think of yourself as a mature Christian now who is immune to the evil that is going to be so present in the world. And one of the indications that the end of the world is coming is the fact that there is this increase in ungodliness. As Jesus had warned in Matthew 24 when he said that lawlessness will abound in the last days and the love of many will grow cold. Paul's thought it's ironic that as Jesus was dying on the cross to pay for our sins, fulfilling Old Testament prophecies about that very act that was coming, things that had been written hundreds and even over 1,000 years earlier, that the people down below began making fun of him and ridiculing him, saying, he saved others, but he can't save himself. And yet, ironically, their very ridicule of Christ on the cross turned out to fulfill the very prophecies that had been said about the Savior coming to die on the cross. There's a similar irony when it comes to this world and its evil, and the very bitterness and venom with which unbelievers in this world make fun of the Church of God. Their evil rage against God's Church of Believers and their mockery of the churches, the people in the church who love Christ and love His Word and so on, ends up becoming proof and evidence, as Jesus says, of the fact that His words about the end of time are true. A lot of times Christians are considered to be kind of out of touch with reality in our culture and in our society. And yet, the great irony is this, that actually believers in Christ are the ones most in touch with reality. Because no one more is in touch with the reality of what sin is all about and the danger it poses to us, of the fact that this life is very short, and death is coming for every one of us at whatever day that may happen, and also that there is something after this life that we had best be prepared for. And so those who hold on to Christ and see the world through His Word and through the lens of His truth are the ones who have the best grasp on reality despite the ridicule of the church for being so out of touch with reality. It's kind of like the one sober person in a carload full of drunks that's driving along a road right near some sharp cliffs. And the driver who is also drunk is making fun of the fact that the one sober individual in the car keeps warning about the danger that they face. There is an intoxicating nature to the evil that is present in our world. It's very alluring for us. And the intoxicating nature of that evil that is so present causes the hearts of unbelievers to be completely unaware of the danger of this evil. In the Greek, the words before us are that many people in this world at the end of time will be pleasure lovers rather than God lovers. Isn't that interesting? Inviting us as believers in Christ to the altar of hedonism and the sanctuary of pleasure. And then he goes on to say, in Paul's warning to Timothy, these people will have a form of godliness. There's going to be a time when they appear to be part of the church. They appear to be in the visible church. God throughout the New Testament warns of this great time of apostasy when the church will have unbelievers and at times very bold in their unbelief, remaining inside of the walls of the church. These dangerous times will not only be due to the moral degradation that takes place in society, but it is also due to the fact that what makes it dangerous is the fact that this creep from society has come inside of the walls of the church. A theologian by the name of Lenski put it this way: the church will not only be surrounded by such evil people, but invaded by them. And we can see this. Inside of the church, there has been in the last years or so a clamoring for things that clearly contradict the Word of God, a clamoring by people inside of churches and church bodies to get these things labeled as okay before God, to have the church now give its blessing to what God clearly in His Word says is sin. A theologian by the name of Kurt Marquardt said it a great way. Put it like this. Liberalism, that means this thinking that we don't really need to listen to everything the Word of God says. Liberalism is the funnel by which unbelievers are poured back into the church. And the challenge for us as believers in Christ who've come to know Him and trust in Him and love His Word and look forward to heaven and so on, the challenge for us is there's a little magnet inside of us that is drawn back to the same way of thinking. It's not foreign to us. We get it. We know how the world thinks, and sometimes we kind of embrace that. And that's why St. Paul must even say to Timothy himself, one of the pastors, turn away from such people. In fact, the Greek is keep on turning away. This is going to be an ongoing struggle. This isn't something you just have to do once. It's a constant issue for believers in Christ in this world to keep on turning away. Paul knew that if the devil could get a pastor, a shepherd of the flock, away from Christ, what would then happen to the sheep? So Paul's basic point to both Timothy and to us today is this. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your heart focused on where you are going. And don't forget who you are. You're a child of God. You have been claimed out of this dark, unbelieving world to be brought into the light of God's truth by His grace. You have come to see your sin. You have been given the wonderful knowledge that Christ has died to pay for every sin you've ever done, and even times as a Christian when you've wandered back to the darkness. You have been covered in the holy, blessed record and righteousness of your Lord Jesus Christ. God now looks at you because of Christ as if you'd never done a thing wrong in your life. You know that because of what Christ has done and by His resurrection, you're going to rise again someday, and you have the hope of living in heaven someday, and you know that there is a great day of judgment coming out there ahead and so on. But you also know that by God's grace, you're going to get to live in a home that is just absolutely perfect, and that condition you will live in is never going to stop because of Christ. So don't forget what this faith is all about. Don't forget that someday what's so hard to hang on to now is all going to be so worth it. Be faithful unto death, your Lord says, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. Please join me in the prayer for Monday morning on page 168. Page 168. And let us rise. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might. Make me sincere in my love to you and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor, to your glory and my salvation. Amen.